All right, well, welcome, councillors. This is the ordinary council meeting of Wednesday the 22nd of October 25, held at the Kempton Municipal Offices at 85 Main Street in Kempton. According to the regulation of the local government, the procedures regulation, I advise all attendees that this meeting is being recorded. All persons attending the meeting are to be respectful of and considerate towards other persons attending the meeting, and language and conduct at the meeting that could be perceived as offensive, defamatory or threatening to a person attending the meeting or listening to the recording is not acceptable. Item 1, as usual, is prejudice, and we're welcome back. Reverend Dennis Cummings, you shall be.
Welcome back, Dennis.
Thank you very much. Nice to be back. Thank you. We're not aware of anybody that has passed away within our area within the Southern Midlands Council since the last meeting, and that's good, but then there may be people that are known to you that are struggling at the moment with changes in their life, be it through health or age or words that have been spoken that have caused division within families and the like, so we'll just remember the possibility of those. I came across a reading or a saying recently. I don't know whether I shared it last time, but it was said, how do you spell love? And it says, you don't spell it, you give it, you show it, and you share it with others. And we think of those times in our lives when we probably haven't done that as freely and as openly as we would have liked to. So as we reflect upon that and upon the business of today, we remember the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you very much, and all the very best for today's meeting.
Two, we acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet today and recognise their continuing connection to land, water and the community. We pay respects to elders past and present. We have an attendance today, mine is Councillor Easy, who has a health issue which means that he couldn't get here today. The minutes of the ordinary council meeting have been circulated, and that was held on the 24th of September 25. Do I have a mover or equally confirmed? Thank you, Councillor Fish.
No, I'll second.
Thank you, Councillor Camp, I think. Any discussion? No, with the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The ayes have it. Those minutes are confirmed. And the special committees of council minutes. There's a recommendation that we acknowledge those to receive. Do I have a mover for that?
I'll second.
Thank you, the Deputy Councillor. Any discussion in respect to that? All right, I'll put that motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. And there's the recommendation that the recommendations contained in those minutes be endorsed. Do I have a move for that?
Yeah.
Again,
I'll second.
Any further discussion? No. The motion has been carried.
Oh.
As again, there I say. Notification of council workshops. That's the workshop that was held on the 13th of October. And there's a recommendation that we receive that information. Councillor Blackburn.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
questions, please?
You might have the inside knowledge, because I've heard nothing.
Well, I'm on the same wavelength.
They've certainly been, well, they've had their sale contract for weeks and have not received a signed contract. As part of that process, they also had to notify who was acting on their behalf. Whether that's delaying the process, I'm not sure.
I know that they're working on it, but other than that, I know a little more. And being down at Cambridge Park this week, I noticed a car on fire. At Cambridge.
Yeah.
An electric car on fire. Which brings me to the question, what training practices have been put in place where lithium ion batteries catching fire? What training has been put in place for council when that sort of situation happens? Because what happened down there at Cambridge Park was they just let it burn.
Yeah, well, that would be what the fire brigade would be right next door to it. Where that took place, pretty much. That would be their advice.
But the two cars on the other side didn't come up too good. But what's been put in place in relation to council workers knowing what to do?
No, so we don't respond to fire at all, other than, you know.
But they wouldn't.
What made it? No, basically, we'd leave it to TASFIRE as the first responder.
So
we wouldn't try and act.
So if you've got a fire in the depot, you're just going to let it go?
Well, if it's a battery fire, or depending, if it's just a pure fire that can be managed with a cylinder, that would be fine. Then other than that, just rely on TASFIRE. Because we're certainly not trained. Employees are not trained how to respond to fire situations.
Then
personal safety.
Having said that, TASFIRE and the SES with Road Rescue, they're just rolling out training programs for electric vehicles.
You know what I'm saying? Because some of them started doing that, it was the one night, and there was a fire, and the Jericho Fire Brigade got called out. So we had to leave that training, and we went to the books.
Which you would have studied at length.
Which we studied at length, but it hadn't all the answers in it, so we then said our answers back and we all passed.
Then I got quite an ear bashing over an issue between Runnymede and Whiteford. People wanting to know, can they subdivide their blocks? If not, why not?
It's a land use planning question, right?
One of the rights inside there, Councillor Campbell, it's going to be contingent on the land it's owning that will put a cap what they can do as far as new lot creation. So we'd have to have a specific address and we could provide some absolute advice as to the certainty otherwise in relation to our proposed subdivision of land. Ag zone is generally more contentious, but rural zones most certainly is more. I guess it's more accommodative of the rural zone versus the ag zone. So with some details, I could provide some specifics.
And there's one property that's got road through the middle, and she's tried to split it into two, and doesn't get that now.
I'm not aware of the example you're referring to, but certainly I can take it off notice and provide some further details if the conversion of the rental would like.
I'll tell you outside the council.
Sure.
That's my lot.
Thank you very much, Councillor Campbell. Absolutely.
I wanted to ask, our photos. Did we, I know we have, we were trying to do them a few months ago, and can we reschedule that till November?
I have spoken to Denise. She's gone to try to come to the next meeting, but she is now working on the last Wednesday of the month. So she said she might be able to come over, it will just depend on the day and an hour.
Thanks, Jim. That's it, that's all I have.
Who's the one that we're missing? Apart from an old one. We're resurrecting and it doesn't matter.
Could I just ask, was it envisaged that all the old photos be uniformly framed? That's basically the idea of it.
Thanks, Jim.
Did we ever hear back from Telstra at all?
No, never received a follow-up on what project work had been undertaken.
Give them a little nudge to see if we can get some feedback from them. The other thing is the last few weeks with all this high wind, there's been quite significant power outage. Are we looking at making sure the trees aren't necessarily falling on the power lines, or there's certain, we're trimming them appropriately? Is that our role?
I'm only smirking because I know Dave's been spending a big money on those, so I've removed the little trees.
Yeah, that's correct. And look, it's primarily up to TAS Networks to ensure their assets are protected from tree branches, and that's why they have their contractors running around trimming trees basically 12 months a year. Have we had any issues with our trees that have affected any TAS Networks infrastructure against them? Throughout this long period. It's certainly an ongoing issue. I mean, the main feeder line can go down, one tree branch can take out a feeder line that serves as a rotunda for about an hour or 2 days, I think about a week ago, and that was certainly nothing to do with any trees or road culture or anything like that.
Yeah, so it's not up to us then to keep an eye on it.
I think that the rain's so long, we that come into Kempton, of course, told in the past, and we've lost power at Kempton.
I think Tasman Networks had a crack at them a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. But yeah, a couple of those had to come down, but they're probably our most responsible.
The contractor for TAS Networks has a program where they have to do an inspection of all the feeder networks throughout the state, and that's where the works program comes out of that, those inspections. So they identify whether there's a potential for a tree to fall or a branch is going to cause an issue or whatever, and then they have to actually act on it.
I saw active only last week, in our area.
Yes, I quite often get calls because they leave their branches, sitting on the side of the road waiting for the chipper to come along, and residents call me and go, "Council, come and bring those streets to all the
they often have helicopters going along, along the lines of at home. It's probably only a bit over 12 months since they've done that. So, yeah, so it's a regular thing that they do.
They're on the board, I think, pretty much. I know. Probably other than that, just melting the noise. Complaining about things.
They'd be using drones as well, too, like that.
All right, any other matters, Councillor
Mayor? No, thank you.
I just have a couple. I just wonder whether there's been a minister appointed that might be able to deal with that. Buff Trace. Trust.
The Stealing of Button Trust? Yeah, so that has advanced.
Has it?
Well, no, I'll say it hasn't advanced, but it hasn't been provided to me. I think the last time I provided an update, TPT Wealth were going away to seek advice, as was the Department of Health. I am privy to advice where the Department of Health come back. And basically, there's two options, surprise, surprise. One is to get the minister to repeal the legislation, or the second option is you can actually apply it to the Supreme Court. Now, where I'm at is asking, unless you can have any knowledge, what's the quickest process, the simplest process, the cheapest process? But as a beneficiary, we can apply to the Supreme Court to have the legislation reviewed. Do you know
that? Well, to have the legislation reviewed.
Whatever it is. I haven't got the advice, but okay. Along those lines.
Is it up to us to make a decision?
Well, it actually concluded, given that we're pushing it to some extent on behalf of CAT. It actually concluded that the Southern Midlands Council should seek their own advice. And we've nearly done the full circuit. But if we can gain an understanding how simple or hard it is to apply to the Supreme Court, we may be able to address it.
Because we thought at our last CAT meeting, which was last week, that issue was raised and I told them about what you'd received. We thought you'd probably go to Guy Barnett, being the Attorney General, or that's his title, isn't it? Maybe he could push it to rescind it in Parliament.
That's what we wrote to him 18 months ago. The Mayor is the writing to the Minister.
Yep. Okay.
18 months ago. Yep.
That's when he was Health Minister.
Mm.
Yep.
Well. The question is, do we proceed to take responsibility and whatever financial implications there might be? I'm asking our solicitors.
I was only going to make a very quick phone call to see whether there was any experience, and if there was a cost, that really should come out of the trust, if it can.
Yeah.
If it can.
Yeah. I
think
that's
probably
the sense. I personally believe if the council don't do it, we're just going to go around and around and around again, and it'll be like what happened there last year, 18 months ago, whenever we were told it had gone from that value down to that value, and
we're going to have to argue and say, yes, there should be more.
Yeah, it should be more.
As mayor, I'm on the...
You're a signatory. Yeah,
I'm in.
You're it.
And then I'm just a bit wary of spending money on a legal proceeding that is not strictly council's operation.
Mm. That was the thing that worried me as well.
Yeah.
We have got... Our next meeting in November is the AGM. So it would be wonderful to have
some sort of well, I think if we can get a phone call, at least we can find out what we are required to do. It's just a thing.
3 years. 3 years now. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, well,
3 years.
When we tried,
been there. Yeah.
No, TPT Rock was owned by MyState.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
Still, yes, the only other dilemma I had was whether or not any steps have been taken for the community consultation for the Kempton playground. That concludes questions without notice. Declaration of pecuniary interest. We are required to advise if there's a pecuniary interest for any matter on the agenda. Is that the case for any councillors?
No.
No? Thank you. Very good. Supplementary item to the agenda does appear. That is the issue of the interconsultation agreement between Tasmanian government and the local government sector, and that's been circulated. Joan is back. So that's on the agenda. Any other matters? Done? Can we resolve by an absolute majority to include that on the agenda, please? Thank you, Councillor Fish.
I'll second.
Councillor Black, all those in favour? Thank you. Thank you. We'll come to that when we get there. Public question time is scheduled for 10:30. We're a little bit in advance of that. Will we continue on? We will continue on. Municipal seal. Coming back in the day and room now. Municipal seal.
Yes, there is one.
Happy to provide some further details, Mr. Mayor.
Yep, very good. Well, I'll just announce that the session is seeking out the planning authority pursuant to the Land Use and Planning Approvals Act, number 40, and Capital Statutory Land Use Planning Schemes, and the first item is 12.3.1. And Mr. Pitman, thank you.
An application to apply the seal to a, I guess what was back in Melbourne as was referred to as an adverse possession application. The applicants have provided a rather detailed demonstration of their interest in ownership of the land that adjoins the subject lots. The subject lots are subminimal size, and they're detailed on the reverse of the McDonald's title. The intention is to add parts of lot 100 to lot 100. And this application of the 138Y of the Land Powers Act is the definitive circumvent subdivision application due to the size of those four undersized lots. So I believe that we've taken the detailed history that's been given to us in relation to Ken Rollins' land titles. It's been closed for many documents, I believe. But certainly the foundation of the land is for over 98 years, and this small section that have been fenced. Not respecting the current boundaries, etc. So, the recommendation is that we affix the seal to the government's form and provide detail to the Land Titles Office so they can execute.
Do we have a mover for that?
I'll move.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Seconder? A seconder?
Second.
Yeah, those in favour? Vote against. We're very good. The recommendation is carried and the appeal can be accordingly. We also have a policy development update in relation to the caravan policy 1241.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This was covered at the last council meeting. We intention to receive some feedback from members in relation to the awareness otherwise of the proposed policy. It's an update from a 2010 iteration. It's been achieved in consultation with internal federal authorities, EHOs. There's some comments, I've had some chats with Councillor Campbell in relation to the validity of the policy in the absence of a bylaw. In this instance, we are really reliant on the Act showing to determine whether the occupation of a caravan constitutes a nuisance, whether the people are willing to act under NCO provisions, but certainly the intention was to update the policy, provide more information around the application form process, in tandem with an FAQ as far as what's expected for an application. I do admit that the enforcement policies is where we sometimes bring ourselves a little bit around the resources necessary, but certainly we do act on instances where we are aware of situations where there's occupation that might be in exceedance of what the policy allows for. So I'm happy to take any questions, but the recommendation is that we adopt the policy as presented.
You know how the Attorney General announced that he decided to intervene in that caravan park issue?
Yeah.
Case. Do you know whether or not this is his intention, or has there been any discussions about creating some kind of universal policy with respect to all that? Or is he just going to intervene in this one specific matter for these people?
I believe that's site specific. That's what I get, I believe, the resource plan. I'm not aware of the specifics of the case, but I was aware that persons were looking to at least interest in the caravan park and they couldn't fully achieve the title.
Yeah.
So quite a different form we have here.
So I realise that.
Certainly. I'm not fully across on Mr. Mingan.
Yeah, I was just wondering. I thought it might have been an opportunity for him to review the whole issue because.
Most councils statewide have bylaws for caravan occupations. We don't have a bylaw in that regard, so we are aligned with policy. I guess in some ways, in tandem with a bylaw, you have more enforcement ability, but certainly, in terms of we adopt the policy today, it's been tweaked a little bit to bring into account. Putting the face in some recent changes, particularly in relation to fire and fire alarms and smoke detection. The previous policy was filed a little down, so we probably have a bit more current information.
It's been on the table for the required length of time. The recommendation is that we adopt the revised caravan policy with no amendments. Do I have a mover to that effect?
I'll move.
Thank you,
Deputy. I'll second.
Thank you, Councillor Flacco. Any discussion? Those in favour?
Aye.
Those in
favour? Not on the ground.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Councillor. This concludes the session of Council acting as a planning authority. We now are, I guess, out of time. We can do that yet. Do the public question time and welcome members of the public. It is now your time.
I do. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I'm just wondering when Council plans to advertise its new dog rules around the lake, North Lake area.
The Lake Darlington Committee
we
come up with any advertising of.
We did discuss that with Maria on annual leave. Something will happen come November. Yeah, so we did discuss how we're going to teach. Dogs going left and right, and things like that, and the size, and it's not going to be huge signs or anything, thinking little signs, but as I said, once Maria's back from annual leave, things will happen. That was right, Don, wasn't it? Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And also, it was pleasing to see a resolution to the horse situation, the thoroughbred situation at Florata, and I wonder whether Council has decided to investigate how they might have played a better role or a stronger role in preventing what turned out to be quite a serious situation there.
I can provide some information in relation to the reduction in numbers. Rose Collis and myself, we conducted a site visit 2 Fridays ago to look at the number of horses. We were able to confirm that there's a reduction to about 50 on the property in Bray, which is probably half the number that was there previously. We then went to look at the property at Angel Ponds, where they have a holding tank as well. With 30 to 35 horses up at Angel Ponds. We both agreed that property is probably at capacity for the number of horses in a land area. The reduction numbers within the ABC News publication, they mentioned, or already mentioned, that it might take 6 months to achieve a reduction in horse numbers. We were really encouraged by a reduction within a few weeks. Whether our horses are gone, we don't know the answer. As far as council involvement is part, well, today we haven't had a lot of contact with the thoroughbred owner, what we've been doing. We've been, I guess, here in Oregon and Biosecurity Taz really run that course for their regulation and control. Our issues have really literally been around the nuisance component today, the odour, the zoning, etc. When we last had council in September, EHO attended the site that same morning. He was able to confirm that there was a nuisance to odour. We've had no instances of odour or complaints in the last 4 weeks on the problem, probably given the weather conditions, but also the reaction. But I do note this council hasn't been involved a lot today. We've been quite lucky. We've been I guess the press hasn't been really heavy on council. I've been quite critical of regulatory authorities as they need for their resourcing. But certainly, we're reviewing it constantly to see what we can do better to be more proactive.
Just to confirm, what is the categorisation of that land in the middle of the township of Corretta? What is it signing?
We have a village and low density red zone in our proximity, and quite possibly, and I guess this issue we have might be interesting to these rights. I'm speaking loosely here, but certainly we have a change in character, scale, and intensity to lose those use rights. So what was in existence under a previous planning scheme may not be applicable under the current planning scheme, given the change in character, scale, and intensity. So that's one option we might have to look at, is whether this actually requires a planning approval for maybe boarding, breeding, or kenneling.
Yes, that's
fine. So if the zone is rural, I can confirm the zoning, but certainly that would be a different scenario confirming for certain needs. The site does have the benefit of being so busy and drawing it on.
That's
what people have been asking me. So, to summarise, there is a
potential for council to look at
in the future
some way of perhaps mitigating this
impact
in a village or township area.
It may simply be the matter of the council saying, we believe that this requires ABC and this site they've been planning.
Thank you, that's all from me today. Operational matters arising from the strategic theme infrastructure and the manager infrastructure and works of goodness, Mr. Richardson. Is the report's table. David.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. We've embarked on the preparation of a what's called a transport asset management plan. It takes in all our transport asset classes, or in business with our building data roads. And we'll see basically a guiding document
to provide us throughout the next 10-year period, I guess. But how we potentially manage those major assets. So I'm sure everyone's there with the whole lot.
Last one.
Yeah, but I think it projects the cost over the next 10 years at $55.5 million. That's
already long term over budget.
But it does say the current funding is suitable to all maintain the assets.
Well, it says that there's going to be a shortfall of 1.8 million, though.
It's only 180 a year.
Okay.
It was actually the preparation of the consultants that assisted with it. They were quite complimentary on how well the funding was going to be.
Report, and that's the Manager of Infrastructure and Works report that's before you. Do you want to speak to that one?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm a bit going on at the moment. Obviously, we've got a fair few capital works happening, and one of our normal maintenance activities that can raise the price. There's a number of footpaths that are under construction, so one being from the Baghdad School through to the community club, Mr. Mims. And obviously, finally, we might start with the improvement. And the construction of the Kenipania Football Club Changer additions is still underway. We've got to the stage where the house is up. All the framework's up, so that's happening. But yeah, keep going on. Got any questions?
We're all interested in the schedule for moving the truck down to Melton, aren't we?
So I have an update on that. It's all booked into the next Wednesday morning, so the truck will be in place, hopefully in one of those.
I'm going to cover it coming down the highway.
So, how's it going to be? Transport, have you got any thoughts on that?
Yes, we have a plan. Yes, it will be picked up from the current location and based on people seeing on the truck, and then transported down the road to the site, and there will be a crane awaiting there, and it will be picked up with the crane and placed in the spot station, facing the hole.
I noticed last night when they were moving John Kennedy from Hawthorne to the new stadium where that's going, he was put on a bed of mattresses on this truck and protected when they were moving him. So.
We are very comfortable with it.
Yeah, we are right with that. And it's the neck that faces the pathway here, obviously. Questions of the manager? Perhaps we can go over the table, or do you want to start?
No questions for me, thank you.
Councillor
Campbell. One for David, which is quite simple. With the male toilets, public toilets, I notice a number of them get a bit on the nose.
Which ones, Bob? Which ones? Which public toilets?
The male down in Campania, Kempton.
Oh, so it's all of them, right.
Quite a few of them. Would it be possible to get a sign put in as male toilets, please flush?
Yeah, we put Council Campbell in and certainly looking at that, but human nature of the church would not.
Even if they only get flushed two or three times in the day, would be an improvement on a couple of them.
And the amount of wind along that we go through is incredible.
Just as an aside note, aren't our toilets, that if you do hear any feedback in relation to the toilets at the rear of the Tunbridge Hall, they are out of action because somebody stole all the pipes.
It's a good thing to steal.
Stripped all the pipes off the back wall in the sink tap in one toilet. So they are out of action. And we have a real issue because it's obviously not a council toilet. There'll be no insurance on the Tunbridge Hall. Who pays?
Also, just on that, yeah, we've had more than a resident of the campaign of toilets as well, which is pretty consistent
too. We might get a security camera up on the hall there to see who's doing it, or do we know who's doing it?
Well, I'll give you an example. We had a resident break into our group and saw it there, and there was some footage of camera footage.
Yeah.
And they were, as I've always said, they had the hoodies on. This is the problem. I mean, Hamlet's great, and probably in your own bottle backyard there, and you can probably have a high resolution and you know, it can work okay, but when they've put it up, they obviously won't be looking. The police just look at the community. Yeah, we suspect we probably know who that is, but we can't prove it. It goes to court,
I go for period.
Yes, there's a new one, but it's a challenge.
Then I noticed on the way home the other night, coming up Daston Road, as you go around some of the corners, I noticed that the edges are starting to get nasty again.
Which road is that?
Rindaston, the sealed section. Between the railway line and the turn off, going back down to Tunk Motor Road.
We have an ongoing pink road program, and all the nodes for that, we've got
to thank them. It's just basically at this stage, some short sections be your after length of table and on the corners as you go around. And then when you get up there by the railway line, I was looking at that ditch you got there. Maybe a big chunk of pipe shoved in there and covered over with a bit of fill. It'd make that a bit
shorter. That section you're referring to on the railway line up the hill.
Yes. As you come over the railway line, and you're going up to Rindaston, you've got that ditch that comes alongside the railway line,
yes,
to the road. With a lump of pipe or something shoved in the end of there and covered over, but to get rid of that.
Check that out as part of the reconstruction
process. Stir the railway stuff over.
Oh,
thanks, Kathleen.
Just one question or just one statement. As I drove down the highway, which is not ours, I know that, but it's really breaking up badly. Did you, everyone else notice it coming down sort of from Lovely Banks sort of coming down towards Kempton? There are quite a few sections where there will be potholes very soon if they don't do something about it.
Yeah, I suspect that section, I've looked at it a number of times myself, right, and it's there in the main water.
Yeah.
On the biggest roads, however, I suspect that will be on what's there, there in the Brazilian program very shortly, because if they don't get on to it, yes, they can.
They're going to have, yeah, definitely going to have some problems. Thanks, that's me. Thank you.
Thanks, Mayor.
No, thanks for me.
Do you have a program for photo teaching? I've got a regular report.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's all like photo.
Yes, so we are now utilising, we used to do a fair bit of in the house, we are still using emulsion and similar material still. However, we're using now what's called a jet patcher truck. So the jet patcher goes around with the same products in it, into the emulsion and the small stone, and fills the piles.
Oh.
And they can pull up, they have a blower on there, so if there's water in the hole, they blow it out first. And then it basically fills the pilot. And the idea of the pilot is just to seal out the water, because the more water that gets into it, the bigger the pilot.
Yeah.
So we're very active in that space. He comes randomly, I tell him the areas, and we'll be in the southern part, the northern part, and some specific roads where we know there's an issue. But,
because that little road that runs, little piece of road that runs to the tip of Dalsa, carries a lot of trucks and a lot of trailers and a lot of traffic, and there's a lot of fires there. I don't know how you guard against that, I suppose, or send the woods in or something.
And not to be communicating on top of every single product,
I just wonder whether or not we need to look at that line in some other way.
The satellite, I believe, 2 years ago, had a recent line.
It was a part reconstruction. But then, that road is probably one of the most heavily trafficked roads in the municipality.
And it's got that sort of approach. It could be a good candidate going forward there.
A manager infrastructure and works. Do I have a move that his report be
removed?
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Thank you, Councillor Fish. Any further discussion? Very good. I'll let you know in
favour.
Aye. Aye. Look, the eyes have it.
Can we do number 15 and then I'll move that we go to morning?
Number 15. Act, which is the Heritage Project Officer, he's not with us, is he, Bradley?
Yes.
So you've got the program report there before you, councillors. Do I have a move that we have received? Thanks, Deputy.
I'll second.
Thanks, Councillor Campbell. Any discussions or questions arising out of that? No, I spoke to Neil Williams the other day and had a look at his work. It's really interesting, it's worth looking at. Neil, I hope you'll get a nice bit of artwork from him. He's quite well known at the moment, actually. He's probably one of the more well accepted artists about the place, in Australia, Neil. So pleased to see him. Anyway, I have a letter and a second there. Any further discussion? No, I took the motion out of time. Very good. Well, Deputy, you're about to make a move.
I'm moving.
Break for morning tea. Break for morning tea. Very good. This is the in programs officer, weeds management officer. Report. That we should receive that information and name it. Got a mover?
Yes.
Thanks, Councillor.
Second.
Thank you. Comments?
Yep. Down on the first page, you've got down the bottom, she says Melaleuca or tea tree. Now, my understanding of Melaleuca is, and tea tree, Melaleuca is one of the tea tree families, and David can correct me if I'm wrong, and Leptosternum is the other one.
Correct.
But the way she's got it there, she's got it in a confusing manner.
Well, I wasn't confused myself, but that's because I'm ignorant.
Then further down, she's got that. When it comes to research, she's making comment about ornamental pear. And I noticed that council some years back planted ornamental pear down through Culper. And now that virtually burned it, they're going down the path wanting to declare it as a weed. So, if it gets declared as a weed, what happens to the council? Do we have to root them all out?
Probably existing non-conforming
use. All right, well, thank you very much, Councillor.
And the other good news is that Yates have released some new sprays onto the market that are human friendly.
Whatever that may mean. Cheat. Don't work. All right, well, look, I don't think it requires any amendment to the report.
Mr. Mayor, I think it's yeah, put a lot of work in that and detail into that report.
We do. The herbicide reports are interesting too, I think, and very practical. So I'm happy to support the motion myself. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. That was Island Gathering event, yes. This is item 1531, and we have with us on that one the deputy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's pretty self-explanatory. Trying to build the capacity of another festival, the summer festival, some programs with the Island Gathering. Seems to be quite enthusiasm for it. This is about trying to build the participation rate and also look at the mix of older and younger folks. So initially what prompted the stage, thinking of the stage, was Highland Dancers, which are young folks with quite a substantial role in that space. As well as parents and grandparents, and they bring quite a crowd in itself. So this is about trying to build the summer festival to be diverse, culturally diverse, age diverse, and to provide a spectrum for folks who have probably not been to open before. I can't recall ever having dance championships in Ireland. So that's what prompted the stage.
And you shouldn't do that.
There'll be a stage for the night of the art this weekend. Every Friday. Part of the process is in trying to build this capacity and resilience and encourage them to come along. They don't have to hire stage, and given that when they're in Longford, places like that are close to the city, so they hire in the stage for about $2,000, which is directed supply and touch wine. It would be more expensive to have them in Oakland. So if we've got the stage for them to use, or any other space that we want to use it, such as the Heritage Bullet Festival and Kempton Festival and other such events, this provides us with capability to provide that particular asset for groups to use and feel comfortable in participating in an event without the background hassles that we've got about arranging these things and then trying to get sponsorship to pay for them. So, a simple request, Mr. Mayor, $7,000, a little bit more than that, but out the unspent funds from the Southern Midlands Community Stock Arrangement.
I'll have a debate. Will I get a mover for that?
I'll move it.
Thanks very much, Councillor Cannon.
And I got one question.
Second, before we go in there, Councillor Cannon, can I just ask, this is not a motion that we actually buy or
use.
So how much is it going to cost us to buy the whole kit and caboodle?
In terms that this is made up of a number of elements, it would be this element, which is the $7,000. It's the $3,000 from the community small grant program. That's already been allocated for components of the stage. Brad is purchasing the same elements for his activities in his prison building. So we're covering the total cost, which is probably about $15,000 all up, with various elements that are paid for out of community small grants program. Brad's budgeted for his elements, and he's changed what he wanted to fit our pattern so that we can use the same elements and it's interchangeable if we need it in another space or if he wants to build his bigger. So it's around there.
So it's a trailer on wheels.
No.
What is it?
No. It's made up of panels which are 2.4 metres by 1.2 metres. Then they've got jacks under each corner, and they clip together. So the jacks provide it just light for uneven ground. There's Brad in his elements have got some steps to go up to it, so it's 4 feet high, bit under 0.5 metre in the height of the ground, and it's got a curving around the front of it. So it's an elevated decking platform.
It obviously packs up its own
convenience. It's a lot.
And it's transported on the back of a truck or So where does it live? Does it live with us? And can
it's it with us? So it's ours.
That was my question. Where are we going to store it? Because it's going to be a fairly big...
It's packaged, given it's the deck is the equipment on the feet, so it's 2.4, 1.2, and the 12 pounds. So
it
packages
there onto quite a small space. Can we rent it out for $2,000?
Sorry?
Can we also rent it out for $2,000 a day if that's the going rate for this thing?
Part of the attraction is that they don't have to pay for it, and therefore they don't have to get sponsorship. So the notion is if we've already got the asset and we don't charge for it, then it's an incentive for them to come to us. And then you could get multiple users that might want to use it, so who do you charge for that component? So my recommendation is that we don't charge for it.
And is it goes out to the man?
Well, I think you bring in to recover the cost.
I would suggest that we don't let it go outside of our municipality. To give you an idea, we have two grandstand, portable grandstands that we've got. I was asked to drive and the outside of Southern Midlands. This would be a benefit of people that live in Southern Midlands but not think of the outside of Southern Midlands. So that was my view. I didn't want them being dropped off a truck or, like the Grand Steps, dropped off a truck that were damaged that we have to repair.
Okay. Now, coming to my two questions. When I did Panorama some moons back, which was part of the Auckland Open Festival, I had to have a ramp going up to the stage. And you're saying you've only got steps?
Yeah, there are steps going up to the stage.
But how come you haven't got ramp?
Well, we could build a ramp that could accommodate that, but there's not a ramp that comes as a standard thing.
But that's the requirement I had to have.
Yep.
And then the other issue is, how are you going to address the situation of sound system?
In more respect?
The PA system, your microphone, all that sort of stuff.
To do with the purchase of a portable stage table.
Because I know when I had to hire a sound system, it wasn't exactly cheap.
No, I think that's within the ambit of this recommendation.
Right. I'm quite happy to move it.
Yeah, correct. Well, you've actually done that, which is good. And we have a second account for Blackburn. Is there any further discussion? No. Well, I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Against? The ayes have it. Thanks very much. Roundwood Park Development Project, you're on again, Deputy GM.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Councillors will recall that you perused the draft report of the Flatland Park and there was some discussion around revising the rule tool, you might recall. On further consideration, that mill building is fully used by the Department of Education. That wasn't helpful, but we did come to an interim over of having a mobile food vendor location in that space. So that was part of the discussion. We then went out to get some community feedback. We had four sets of feedback. One from the school, who said they were very happy, and they were certainly involved in a lot of these discussions around what the layout of the family park would be and what sort of equipment could be used for. So the school was very happy. Also, the Caledonia Halls Committee were very happy, which is good mode because there are two lots of comments, one from the individual family in Campania who has some good thoughts, one of their major comments was around a dog park. Now, we have had some preliminary discussions in general terms about a dog park in Campania, but it was really put on the back burner. This community feedback from this family in Campania has suggested that we could maybe include something within the park. And there is space there where a playground park can go, but it would be subject to exploring a little bit further with the community to see whether that's a need that they do have in that space. So there are two green areas for kicking balls and that sort of activity as part of design. Some of those spaces could be taken up with a park if the community felt there was sufficient room for it. And there were other comments from the community group and campaigner, but those things were fence segments, there are other things that we would need to address as we move forward with the construction, but look forward to submitting a budget allocation for various elements of the park, not immediate for the next 2 years, but to look at achieving what's been arrived at by the consultants as part of the consultation.
Just a question, Andrew. An off-lead dog park in Mill Park or near the recreation ground and stuff like that, I always thought it was sort of law that dogs are not allowed on recreation areas. So is Flower Mill Park not classed as a recreation area?
Yes, it is. But what we need to do is allocate under our dog management policy and characterise that space or a space there that is appropriate and have a fence supporting it so that the dogs would not be controlled dogs, that they would not be allowed of bird comments into the other part of the pest. So, it's a matter of, do we wish to explore that? Maybe not at this point in time, but it's really up to council.
Abby, can you remind me, with the Flower Mill building, I thought we were going to contact the education department and propose building in a shed that they could use it instead. But if we build them a shed on the school site to give them the same facilities as they're using in the building, then they'd
be able to do
that. Can you see if they're open to that? Because it seems a bit of a lost opportunity if we can acquire that building as part of this development and, you know, put it into a cafe or a small restaurant or something, which will obviously then, you know, be quite a destination to go and have a cup of coffee while your kids are running around the park. And if their concern is they need the space for those facilities and we build them a shed, it gives them that. And that might be a good compromise, it'll allow us to get a hold of that building.
I can't
buy that money. Yep. You know, mobile food vendors is an interim option.
There was a discussion the other night at the Halls Committee about the mobile food, which is in the recreation one, so that's not. Because I think at the last market that they had, that the mobile coffee machine was in trouble. And they've made a point of saying that it's not to the policy that we have for carry-on bags. For the mobile food, I think it should be in the recreation ground. I think that's not the policy.
But there are, it could always be an exclusion on market day that they don't accept.
Yeah, and I think that was because the whole committee was losing out on funds because the coffee van was too close to the hall committee.
And they probably do Devonshire teas or something.
They were doing Devonshire tea, and I think they said about 50% of their profit was gone from that. So
we can just put it other than designated market days,
That's just something that I know that they discussed at their last meeting. So.
I did cover that particular point with Robin, and he said at the end.
So that's all right then. Just wanted to make sure that they will happen.
Yeah, right. So if you can make good when needed, advisors when those days
are.
Not sure whether we might need to adjust the policy if that's the case.
So can I ask that we amend the recommendation to wait until we get confirmation that the acquisition of the flour mill building isn't on the table? Because if it is, then it will reasonably affect some of the concept design if there's to incorporate a cafe or restaurant there, rather than proceeding with that until we have that option taken off the table.
Couldn't that be a separate component?
Well, if you're going with a design that doesn't include that in there, then to my mind it could probably reasonably change, particularly the parking and access and the potentially how that is then factored into the current design.
I think one of the issues here is whether or not council are prepared to actually acquire it.
Well, I think there's quite a bit of interest from people in Campania that if it is available or can be acquired, they're quite supportive of it being turned into a restaurant or some sort of cafe. So I think we need to...
But is it the council priority, and where are we? I think for us to be asking about it, I think we have to be fairly confident within ourselves that we do want to do it.
Well, I think there's quite a lot of support for the idea.
We'd have to get a bit of advice about that all around. I mean, that is a process that we'd have to decide whether or not we want to go down that track.
Well, I think the first step is seeing if the education department's open to it, if we provide them with an alternative facility, which could be done quite cheaply.
I don't know whether or not...
I'm
just thinking of the process. Well,
if they're not open to it, then it's a moot point. But if they are open to it, then I'm interested in having that discussion.
Perhaps it's subject to a phone call in relation to whether or not they're open to selling it, I suppose, and see what that situation is. But I think the previous advice was that they are using it.
They're using it, but we haven't proposed an alternative facility for them. So if we propose a shed on the side of the school that gives them the same utility, then it might be redundant, the building becomes redundant potentially. It also has safety issues. You don't have kids crossing the highway anymore to get to and from the building, so there's a few positives.
No, I think that's considerable budget allocation. Purchasing that and maintenance.
Well, the maintenance will pass on to the tenants, so...
And the maintenance, it's on a separate column as well, so the title of that building sits on its own by the
Education Department. It becomes a commercial investment because then you lease it out to whoever wants to run the cafe, and that's how you recoup the money for the purchase over time, so...
It's a very large building with a number of stories in it, so...
Yeah. Well, let's just ask the question and we can, you know, discuss the logistics of it afterwards.
So, you're proposing an amendment to the motion?
Well, to my mind, if they are open to it, then it probably does impact the current design. And so if that being the case, then if it's no, then it's fine. But if it is, then we'll probably amend the design to incorporate a cafe-type situation, cafe, restaurant, whatever it becomes, which may impact the current design, which at the moment just assumes it's a building that we don't have access to.
Another question, would the school have area on their site where the school is to put a large shed to, you know, accommodate the kids that are doing whatever? Have they got enough room there?
Well, we have to ask the question, so I don't know the answer.
Well, let's just get what we want to debate in some sort of order.
I think what you're suggesting is proposing the move that we defer a decision at this meeting, pending receipt of advice or a response from the Education Department in terms of a proposal to construct an alternative facility.
Yes.
That's basically what it's
being proposed. Yeah. It won't make much difference to what we're going to do there. We've already agreed that to set aside some funds to pull down the tennis courts and cricket basketball.
Well, just before you argue against it, we've just got to see whether or not that's a motion that we can proceed with from a legal point of view. That's all right.
And stuff like demolishing the tennis court.
Did you understand the motion that's, or the change that?
Yes, I found it what Tim's proposing.
So that's a proposal then that we defer this until we get a response from the department in relation to the building.
Yeah, well, I think you can still have the consultation for the dog park and things like that. So
I'll get you. I just want to get the clarification of what we're actually debating rather than having a wide-ranging discussion about it. We can just keep it to some sort of order. Very good. So is there a seconder for that? That we defer the... defer the decision on this recommendation until we've had details or a response from the education department. What was your exact wording?
Defer a decision pending received advice or response from the education department in terms of a proposal to construct an alternative facility on the school property to accommodate the current uses within the Flannel Mill Park building along that effect.
Very good. That's an amendment to the resolution that's put forward.
Hmm. So then on, depending on
the response. Do you have a mover in relation to that?
Well, I'll move it, obviously.
Thank you. Very good. So let's move
on. I'll
set that cat up. Shh. And if we pass that, that becomes the motion. So we'll see whether or not that is passed or not. We'll have a discussion about that. So did you want to speak more to it, Councillor Miller?
No, I think that's fine. The other points there, I think, we can talk about continued moving ahead with a consultation on a dog park and things like that, but I think that's
I
do believe that the old corner shop is potentially going to put a DA in eventually to have a distillery with the corner opposite that big old white building.
The grocer's old shop?
Sorry?
The old shop.
The old shop. that they are going to or investigating a cafe in there, so I just question.
I thought they were converting it into Airbnbs at the moment.
No. I heard it was because it's the owner is a distiller.
Discussed. Yeah. That, but it's certainly undergoing renovation.
Yeah,
which is expensive and really you get great ideas from the owner.
As far as we're aware, there's no DA in there as yet, but there definitely has been discussions, I think, on that one. So I question whether we sort of...
The next step, ultimately, is we have to debate whether or not we want to carry on this gives us a bit of time to incorporate it. So Councillor Fish has seconded it and Councillor has moved it. So it would mean a short period of deferment to ascertain that. Any other discussion? Did you want to say something further in relation to this one, Aidan?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Look, it is an opportunity. I would say at some point in time, if the Education Department did want to devolve some of its structure, and they would pay for a structure on their own site, the council would pay for a structure on Education Department's site. projects that will be put into grand corporate that awaiting design and need for funding that could be otherwise spent other than building a new building with education fund. Significant cost, but it is a strategic decision. It's a beautiful little building, but the middle, and I understand the sentiment around that. I don't know that it's going to impact on the park design as it is at this point in time.
Mm. In the past, they thought about moving out of the flower and putting it. Building back at the school, but that fell through, and I can't see the education department doing it now.
Didn't you like that, sir?
All right, well,
I reckon that's the demand
any other debate about it? I'll put the motion. Those in favour of that motion, you can ask the fish. Those against?
Against. I'd sort of like to see, I think I'm against, I'd like to see the park proceed.
I'm
sitting on the fence, I'm not
sure.
Well, it's not preventing it going ahead, it's just giving a better outcome.
I think, yes, that's okay. Well, just something from the education.
I agree. Then
we know whether yes or no. And then
all right, well, I'll vote in favour of deferring as well, and that gives us is now that.
Which box am I ticking?
Can you feel it on the fence? I sort of agree that I don't want to see the park stop, I guess I'm not against it.
All these other things can still proceed, it's just dog park and consultation and stuff.
So the motion is that we defer is there a mover and a second? I assume it'll be Councillor Fish and Councillor Miller again.
Yep.
Very good. And I put the motion now that we actually do defer. Those in favour of that motion?
Aye.
Those against? No one. Very good. Well, we'll defer it. And if there are any other matters that arise out of that, one of the things that I thought was, could have been improved a bit in relation to it, or there's an opportunity, is the TAS Rail participation. A few sleepers and a bit of, the rocks they put on, what they call it?
Blue metal?
Ballast.
I don't think it's enough. I think that there's a big opportunity to have rather than be involved to get the heritage, up and running on that park in some way. I don't know whether it's information panels or a logo or, how we can make it a bit more involved, because people out there campaigning and really see that as, a railway town. Maybe that could be something that's the design people make it look like or
take on.
I don't think there's any reason why that couldn't be.
That's what I said, that they all can go ahead and parallel and see it.
Alright. We'll report back on that at the next meeting in relation to that. Campaign to General Cemetery.
And I'll move.
That's out of the box. Thanks very much.
Given that Dave and I, this committee is only meeting twice a year, and it would appear that probably Dave and I will have to attend next year anyway, so I'm happy to be the council representative.
That'd be good.
So, bringing somebody else along.
Yeah.
Just as a matter of interest, the fire service had a real presentation on the weekend between Robin Howard and Michael Goldsmith, 85 years combined service.
Oh, you've just taken my statement away.
I was actually going to say that they commemorated 1,000.
No, you're right. No, it's a great effort that those guys have done what they did. And Robin, I was reading about him, it was like a, several that were in the old Port Teller Fire Brigade. It was the 1967 fire that that inspired them to become part of fire brigades, and Robin was the same.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, well, that recommendation, with a slight amendment to B, in that the council's going to formally Timothy Francis Kirkwood as the representative council, and otherwise the recommendation will be as read, and we have a mover, Councillor Campbell, second individual. I put the motion without further discussion. Those in favour?
Aye.
The ayes have it. Animal management, I'm sorry, report. Is there a point on the move of that? Thanks, Councillor Fish. Would that be the second?
Yes, Councillor
Blackman. Any discussion? Those in favour?
Aye.
The ayes have it. The ayes receive information. Operational on the land.
This is just some concepts that a graphic design artist has come back to us with. I wasn't at the meeting, however, the general manager certainly was.
That can be wrapped as an individual.
Individually,
yes. Not the whole, not the whole thing.
This is generally the concept that he has come back with. So, Tim may wish to discuss it in more detail, but the other part of it is here, that will be the logo bit that you see here.
It's going over the window, isn't it?
Correct. As pictured on the back, I know Adam was a pretty strong advocate of the QR code being there, that you scan the QR code and it takes it to the Oakland's Aquatic Centre Facebook site, not our website, because as he said, most of the traffic is through the Facebook page, not actually our website.
You'll see that the council, being the graphic designer that I am, the council logo just would just clash with the proposed colour scheme and whatever. So you'll see that on the doors it's just purely text around the Southern Midlands Council. Believe it or not, there's some science around the font that is used. Diving was probably, that was the little bit of a slogan that was used for the grant program in the early days. So apparently that had a bit of, resonated a little bit. But the idea is to maintain that diving just as a in your face type thing.
Pull deep enough to dive in.
Yeah, on the. So the there diving, are the dive blocks on
diving
the
diving blocks,
And then on the back window, same type of stuff where you can look out at night. You'll see down the bottom right hand corner, it'll introduce the Oakland's Aquatic Centre logo, the fact that it's open 7 days. we're not putting the opening hours because they change between summer and winter. And there's a phone number there, and Dave's already commented around the QR code apparently. The...
Could I just make one little suggestion that we do the front of it as well?
On the
I have a little bit of experience with decorating the garden. A swipe over the side, that side is really good, all of the other side. Bearing in mind wherever it's parked, it's a visual sign, not a moving sign. Either on the front of one or down the side.
Oh, well, the coppers have a light on the front.
Yeah. I reckon the front would be done as well. Where'd you get this done?
She's the one being there. She's also doing the our graphic design for the website. So this was just a bit of an add-on.
I've just got one question. On the second image with the dive going onto the door handle, I'd see that as a potential danger where people are always putting their hand in. It could damage. Just on the second one there where the eye goes over the door handle, normally it wouldn't be bad, but the door handle is something that people are grabbing onto all the time, and it could potentially cause some issues.
So, what do they call it? It's a stick, effectively. Yeah. A stick and not on the door handles.
Yeah. Or the wrap.
It's not because the wraps, they're the more expensive.
Yeah, I was thinking about the stick aside.
If you happen to dent them, you've got to go up.
You've got to go the whole way up then. Yeah.
It's not a huge expense, right? You'll be able to get $100 for the rider.
Once it's there, and this will be a longer term vehicle, will probably be kept for a bit longer than what we're doing.
In relation to your dent.
Something on the bottom was there.
Tim, in relation to your dent, depending on what the dent is like, that's the equipment that you use to pull the dent out. And if you're using suction equipment, you don't have to worry about unwrapping.
On the side, like you get it a bit over the side.
My suggestion is move your Southern Midlands Council bit off the door. Take that up onto your guard. Then you can bring the dive, the word dive, forward, and you can lower it down so it's not going over the window.
Yeah.
And you use your bonnet as well.
Yeah, no, I've got the bonnet, but
it may be
not the, these graphic designers, they're experts in this space.
Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes you're better off just leaving it with them, but valid feedback around, not over the doorway into the door.
Look, it may be okay. It's on the passenger side. Do we use the passenger side? It's just that fingernails can scratch.
Yeah, but we can pass all that feedback on. But it's more the colour of what it looks like.
I'm not sure I'm with it. Has this vehicle been bought?
Yes. So they use this, but...
I was going to ask the question, can we really afford it?
It sort of replaces another one, but it's used because they've got to do water sampling, regular runs around water sampling and testing and consumables and that. So it's an alternative to reimbursing.
And I do think, I'm not a graphic designer either, but I think it's really got to get a little bit more priority in the signage than dive in. In my view, I don't know how you do that, but it's really to get people up to opens rather than to get people to dive in, if you know what I mean. You can dive in in Jordan.
The destination of opens rather than the pool itself.
Yeah, I always thought we were trying to get people to opens rather than to dive in. And I just think the car that is actually telling us to dive in rather than go to opens. That's my instant, my first reaction.
Our brief was around promoting the pool, so that's probably why if we went back and changed that brief, we suggest that this become the more prominent in the diving into the back or something.
Mm.
Have a look at that feedback and we'll ask them to knock out an alternative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
The starting point.
Yeah, mm. Definitely.
Welcome to the
Inquire as to what's driving the operational costs. It's quite significantly over budget.
Mandy, she made the comment, but I do know Mandy was going to join us today, but we were expecting Water to come back and do one final day to wrap up. It's that bulk purchase.
Which was cheaper.
So I believe in February or March we'll be up for another.
Adam mentioned that last meeting.
Adam, I had a discussion with him yesterday. He also said, the wages is probably up, but the income's up.
Right.
You know, Mum says the other week.
Well, you only have to see the number of cars that are there lately.
Very, very.
And the weekends, it's just been, amazing.
So and it's not that the weather's cooling down, you know.
Very good. Any further discussion? Yes.
Is the charging station offline or something? We don't have any revenue for that in September. Is that quarterly or something?
No, they send it through quarterly, but with the transfer, if it's not there, we may not have
received
it.
Well, it's definitely working because there was a car, I was talking to someone 2 days ago that was charging their car.
Yeah, I think it's quarterly they put in their notification.
That's
why the budget's snored for September. So even though we'd be paying the hydro consumption, we're only reimbursed at quarter end. So there's probably another, based on that, another 5 or 6 grand worth of income.
Yes.
Any other discussion? No? Put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The ayes have it. Thank you very much for rolling out your award. Regional Development of Australia.
Great quarter, quarter have got delayed in
any amendments to the draft service agreement?
That's pretty good. A lot of flexibility.
$4,000.
That's the only real option to maintain the regional body.
Have a second?
I'll move.
Thanks, Debbie.
I'll second.
Thanks, Councillor Blackpool. Put the motivation phone. Over here. Very good. Thank you for all of that. Hi, John. And Deputy General Manager in relation to the Wooling Harassment Clients and Workplace Health Safety. Do we have a... Thank you. And a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell.
This is basically the first reading, Mr. Minnie, so it starts on the table.
I'll ask that the councillors to review that, and if they have any issues over the next month, relay those to the Deputy GM. I'll put the motion. Is there any other discussion? No? Those in favour? Yes. Thank you. Thanks very much. Elected member statements. Do you wish to make a statement?
No, I was just going to mention about the buy down campaign your side, but
Well, I'll just formally do that, if you like, for the minutes.
I formally mentioned that, yes, it was a great effort by the two guys mentioned, Michael and Robin Howlett, and their service that they've given to the campaign of Robin was 55 years, which is a wonderful effort.
Jerry Goat Fire Brigade were down there fighting the Nugent Fire the other day. James's birthday. He spent at drumming matches, which is bloody really nice doing.
It's a bit scary when you have something like that in October.
Yeah, well, that when you get listed like that, it's a bit scary, I think. All right, well, thanks very much for that statement in respect to the efforts of those members of the TFS. Now we've got the report there from the Finance Office, item 1742. Recommendation that we receive that information. Do we have a thanks, Councillor Blackwell. A second one?
Councillor
Thank you. Any questions, comments, issues from or for the Finance Office? That's in relation to the shared services matter. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The ayes have it. That information received. And then we go over to the next item, which is presumably its council external grants project, quarterly update on those grants. That information is to be received. Do I have a mover for that?
I'll move.
Thanks, Councillor Campbell. And the seconder?
Yeah, I'll second.
Councillor Buckwell. And any questions, issues on that update? Put the motion up, Claire.
Aye.
Thank you. We then pass across to item 1731, which is the monthly financial statement for the Finance Officer. Do we have a mover that information
on the
received and noted? Thank you, Councillor Campbell. All right, and Deputy Councillor Fish. All very readable with the new colour code. We have to look up. Thank you. That financial reports received and information known. 1732, a request for a rate remission from the Oakland District Historical Society.
I'll second.
Thank you, Spirit.
No, I have a question.
Hang on, just hang on, Councillor Fish. I just want to start out hanging in the job there with the Historical Society. I've got a mover from Councillor Blackwell.
No, me.
Okay.
And second.
Second.
Yeah, Councillor Blackwell.
Councillor Blackwell, yeah. Very good. And yes, Councillor Fish.
I think it's come up before, but we should know the financial position. Presumably why they want this.
Yep.
I think last year we asked a question on.
I believe we did ask for financials last year, yeah, and I believe you brought the same question up last year, Councillor Fish, yeah.
I'll ask them to provide that, if that's right. Yeah. Might add that as a third dot point.
Third dot point, that
into the
decision. Historical Society.
They asked to provide a copy of their financials.
We should have that before the day, shouldn't we?
Yeah, I agree.
Very good. Well, we can defer that.
Defer?
Defer pending production of their balance sheet or whichever document shows. Yeah.
I have a question.
Well, hang on, sorry.
Do we move from the second?
Councillor Fisher's move.
The mover and the second that we have is happy to change that.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Very good. In that case, the motion now is that we defer a decision pending the receipt of statement of finances from Oakland's District Historical Society. Thanks, Councillor Fisher, for all that.
And maybe next time. When we write this letter to them, next year, if they're going to do the same, please provide.
We've got rates and charges, you've got interest and penalties imposed, and you've got a small sum there. What's that actually for?
It's due to the timing. So, given that the first instalment was due on the 30th of September, given that they haven't made payment, and this report dated the 9th of October, they've got the penalty.
But do they own the building, or don't own the building?
They own the building.
So, what are the interest and penalties for then?
Non-late payment of rates.
Because this hasn't got through council in time.
All right, so we're now at the consideration of supplementary items to the agenda, and we have the consultation agreement document that has been circulated. That's an attempt by the state government to improve the consultation between our sector and Tasmanian government in forming various pieces of legislation that affect us. A very worthy objective. Did you want to speak to me?
I was only just two quick comments. You'll note that the association has had the opportunity to already provide feedback to the Office of Local Government, so they've indicated that they're comfortable with it. And my only other comment, just to explain the importance of that 5-week minimum period, it's to allow for each council, or every council, has to have at least a monthly meeting. So that 5-week minimum provides every council with the opportunity to run something through a council meeting, depending on when it's circulated. So I think really that is the key, is that they don't pull something out and say, give us feedback within 2 or 3 weeks. That 5 is the key, which the current agreement provides for.
I wonder whether or not, and again this is a bit outside the square to some extent, but this only refers to legislation, doesn't it?
No, well, it's a bit of everything. There's, they refer it as minor changes, moderate changes and major reforms. So it can be just minor changes in policy or something rather than legislation.
I don't know how we monitor that, because you just don't know what the... it's up to them to disclose, isn't it? I guess what they want to do, but I don't know how they manage it, the information for you. But if they've got an undertaking that they want to do, that looks good.
So if it's major, they go for either workshops, discussion papers, and then draft legislation. If it's minor, other processes. So it's a little bit different to what... Believe it or not, there was always this consultation communication protocol from years ago, but this is purely focused on consultation. So like I think I always said to you that the old communication protocol was that the minister communicated with the mayor and vice versa, and the secretary or the bureaucrats dealt with council officers. That seems to have gone out the window under the window.
Yeah.
But I still comply with that if we write to the minister, the mayor writes.
Yeah, I think there needs to be some kind of process for that consultation to occur. I'm just thinking, it often comes to mind the government's decision to fund the preservation, if you like, of the Woodstar Football Club and its ground development there.
without consulting council who owned the ground. That, I think, was a pretty glaring example of issues that arise outside of legislation, that direct funding that you've had to council. I'm not sure whether or not funding arrangements that affect council should be in some way part of this process.
Well, if we transferred the wood stuff, it will come over to them.
We're still waiting on this signed contract. We've got a contract, a real estate contract. If you're required to consult or inform the relevant council in circumstances where any grants or other benefits are provided to I'll call them a user group that impacts council-owned property. And then we can just use it as an example, i.e. state election grants, e.g.
All right, so that's item has had its recommendation.
They left me a photocopy.
Well.
And upside down.
So, in the absence of any specific concern, only that one I just raised, Council informed Elgat that it supports the draft interim consultation agreement as presented. So, just read that a little bit. Do I have a movement for that?
No.
Thanks very much, Councillor Blackwell. Second, Deputy, very good. Put the motion up in favour. Thank you. Now, recommendation that pursuant to Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 215, fine models were dealt with in closed session. Minutes, application for leave, and we'll have a minutes. I have a mover.
Certainly.
And Councillor Campbell. In accordance with 15.2.
You'll move then.
We move to closed session. Have a mover, Deputy. And Councillor Campbell again. We're now in closed session. Closure of the meeting, which I now formally close at what we're talking about, quarter to 1:42.
12:42.